Okay, so y'all ready to get started? The name of the chapter is on elasticity of demand and supply. We're going to discuss a very important tool, a principle, that will help us make better and wiser decisions. So, first of all, again, especially in these early chapters, definitions are so important. And so what is total revenue? Total revenue is simply price times quantity. Revenue is how much money you're charging per unit, how many units have you sold. Price times quantity equals total revenue. Now, if you own a business and you raise price, will your total revenue go up or down? That all depends on price elasticity of demand for your product. See, if you, let's say you own a business, and you're considering raising your price. You think it'd be a good idea for you to have, to know what effect that increase in price will have on your revenue. Yeah, it'd be a good idea, right? I mean, if you raise prices, is your total revenue go down or is it going to go up? See, it's not necessarily going to go up, because if you raise your price and people say, well, we don't want to pay that higher price, then what happens? Well, your total revenue would go down, right? So what is going to happen? Well, this is what elasticity, price elasticity of demand is really all about. Okay, when price increases, what two things happen? Now you think on this. When price increases, remember we're facing a downward sloping demand curve here, right? There's an indirect relationship between price and quantity. Price goes up, quantity demand goes down. Price goes down, quantity demand goes up. So if you raise, let's say you own a production business and you raise your price, well, what two things are going to happen? Well, on the one hand, you're going to make more money for every unit you sell, correct? But because you're faced with a downward sloping demand curve, you're going to sell fewer units, right? So see, you're gaining money in one hand because of the higher price, but you're losing money on the other hand because you're selling fewer units, right? So what is price elasticity of demand? A measure of the responsiveness of quantity demanded to a price change. So what is really going to determine what's going to happen to your total revenue? Well, what's really going to determine that is, if you raise price, how sensitive are demanders going to be because of your increase in price? How sensitive are they? How are most demanders going to respond to your price increase? See, how do I measure responsiveness? We measure the percent change in quantity demanded when price changes. The percent change in quantity demanded when price changes. How do I measure a percent change in quantity? You take the difference between the two quantities and divide by the original number. Now here is a simple mathematics. For example, if we go from 3 units to 5 units, how do we know that that is a 67% increase? Mathematically, how do we calculate a percent increase? Anybody? Anybody learn this in mathematics somewhere? Algebra or anything? Because we use this a lot in economics, a whole lot. See, a percent change is always the difference between the two numbers divided by the original number. Now in this case, the difference between the two numbers is 2, and the original number is 3, right? If we go from 3 to 5, the original number is 3. So 2 divided by 3 is 67%. So if we go from 3 to 5, that is a 67% increase. You take the difference between the two numbers, divide by the original number. In this case, the original number is 3. But what happens if we go from five units to 3 units? Now, what is the percent decrease? Well, what's the difference between 5 and 3? Well, again, it's 2. But this time, what is our original number? This time, we start with 5 instead of 3, right? So the percent decrease is 2, the difference between the two numbers, divided by the original number, which is 5. So 2 divided by 5 is 40%, which is kind of interesting. If we go from 3 to 5, that's a 67% increase. But if we go from 5 to 3, that's only a 40% decrease. But that's just the way, that's just mathematics. All of this is just mathematics so far. Now, how do I calculate price elasticity of demand? There's a formula that we use, and the formula is a percent change in quantity divided by the percent change in price. Price elasticity of demand is a percent change in quantity. Now, how do we calculate a percent change? The difference between the two numbers divided by the original number. Now, keep in mind here that what we're looking at, see, if no change takes place, can we calculate elasticity? Now, we can't calculate elasticity if no change takes place. See, the whole point of this is that if there's a change in price, then what effect is that going to have on our total revenue? Is it going to go up or is it going to go down? If it goes up, how much is it going to go up? If it goes down, how much is it going to go down? Remember, if we raise price, we're gaining money in one hand, and we're losing money on the other hand. We're gaining money because of the higher price, but we're losing money because of the lower quantity. So which is going to offset the other? Are we going to gain more than we lose, or are we going to lose more than we gain because of this price change? And that's what this formula is all about. See, this formula is going to tell us exactly what our price elasticity of demand is for this product. So, for example, if NRCC raises tuition, what happens to total revenue? Well, that all depends. If demand is elastic, our revenue will go down. If demand is inelastic, then revenue will go up. In fact, those are the definitions of elastic and inelastic. Elastic says we raise price and total revenue goes down. Inelastic says we raise price and total revenue goes up. That's just definition. Now, it's easy to remember which is which because, you see, if I had a rubber band up here and I was trying to show you, you know, this rubber band is really elastic, what would that mean? It would mean that it's easily stretched, right? See, this rubber band is real elastic. Now, if I had another rubber band, maybe a thicker, heavier rubber band, and you could stretch it, but it's hard to stretch, I might say, well, this rubber band is more inelastic. Now, doesn't that make sense? Elastic says big change. Inelastic says little change. Now, what has this got to do with total revenue? Well, if we raise price and there is a big response. There's a big change. What's going to happen to our total revenue? It's going to go down. Right? If we raise price and people say, man, we're not going to pay that higher price. It's just not worth it to us. Then total revenue goes down. But if, on the other hand, we raise price and whatever we're selling may be a necessity with few substitutes, it's something maybe that people need, and they say to themselves, well, we may buy less. Of course, we're going to buy less, right, because we're still faced with a downward slope in demand curve. But we're not going to buy a whole lot less because we need this product. So if we raise price and demand goes, the quantity demand goes down just a little bit, then what's going to happen to our total revenue? Now our total revenue will go up. See, now remember, if we raise price, we're going to gain money and we're going to lose money. If we raise price, we gain money because of the highest price, but we lose money because we sell fewer units, correct? Well, if you're selling something that is a necessity with few substitutes, so that if you raise price, it's not going to make that much of a difference in demand, in the quality demand for your product, then you're going to gain more from the higher price than you lose due to the decline in quantity. So if you're a business and you own a business and you're selling a product and that product happens to face a inelastic demand curve, then that means that you can raise your price and consequently your total revenue will go up. If you're selling something where you have the demand for your product is more elastic, then that says you can, if you raise your price, then your total revenue will go down because you can lose more money due to the higher price, and you can lose more money due to the decline in quantity than the amount of money you gain because of the higher price. Now, I remember once I had a magazine for econ professors, and it was like a dollar an issue or something, the company raised the price by 50%. I mean, they raised the price to $1.50. Now, what this company was thinking is, well, we've got sort of a closed market here, we don't have much competition, and professors are using their money out of their. I mean, they're not paying for it themselves. The school's paying for it, so we can raise our price a full 50%, and this isn't really going to have much effect on our sales. So we'll make more money. See, they were thinking that the price elasticity of demand for this magazine was more or less inelastic. So they raised the price, and what happened? Well, much to their surprise, they got a whole lot of professors canceling their subscription. And as a result, instead of making more revenue, they lost a lot of money. Now, this is very serious for a business owner, because what businesses have learned is that if you lose a sale, or let's say that you've got a customer that's bought from you on a regular basis. Let's take automobiles, for example. I mean, sometimes people tend to buy a certain type of automobile because, they've always bought Fords and they've been happy with Fords and their parents drove Fords, and so they just, I mean, they always get in arguments, what is better, Ford or Chevy? And they would always say, well, Fords are better built, and because, that's what they're familiar with. And then something happens where maybe they can't get the Ford car they want, but they can find a Chevy that they really like, and maybe it's on sale and it's a good deal, so they buy the Chevy. Well, they happen to like the Chevy. I mean, they drive it for 2-3 years and they happen to like it, and so now maybe 2-3 years later they're thinking, well, maybe I should buy another car. Which brand car do you think they'll look at first, a Chevy or a Ford? Yeah. See, now, I mean, they've used to drive in Chevy. That's what's most paramount on their mind. That's the most recent experience. And so they'll go, initially, they'll go out and look for another Chevy. And if they can find one, they'll buy it. And then 2-3 years later, they might buy another one. And now, the point is this. When Ford Motor lost a sale years ago, did it lose just one sale? No, it lost many sales over several years. Because people, I mean, what manufacturers have learned, what business people have learned, is that consumers are creatures of habit. You know, we always, you know, as human beings, we always seek that which is familiar to us. We're always drawn to what is familiar to us. And this is a big reason why the study of price elasticity of demand is so important. Because if you own a business and you're thinking of changing your price, you think it's a pretty good idea to know the consequences of that change in price. Well, of course it is. Because you're not talking just about one sale here. You might be talking about several sales over the years. Okay? See what we've got here is we've got a business. I remember I went to school in a university in Detroit, Michigan, Wayne State University, and I remember when I was in college, I was at a party once, and the chief economist for General Motors was there, and it was real fascinating, you know, talking to him, because this is all, you know, he did. I mean, his whole job was to take different products of General Motors and to calculate the price elasticity of demand for that product. Now, we live in a world of constant change, right? I mean, what's true today may not be true tomorrow. So his job was never ending. I mean, he would calculate the price elasticity demand for this product and the price elasticity demand for the next product, and then when he was done, he'd go back to the beginning and do it, you know, the whole thing over again, because, you know, the situation has changed. Because General Motors wants to know, well, if we're going to make a price change, what is going to be the effect of this price change in our total revenue? See, what's microeconomics all about? Microeconomics is all about the decision-making process of economics, right? We want to make better, more informed, wiser decisions. And elasticity of demand is an important tool in this decision-making process. See, when price increases, what two things happen? More money is made per unit, but fewer units are sold. Okay, I've already gone over that. If I increase my price from $1 to $1.10, how will this affect my revenue? And the answer depends upon the price elasticity of demand for your product. When price increases and there is a net loss in revenue, the demand curve is price elastic, which has a value of less than 1. See, when economists calculate elasticity, they have to come up with a number. And that number may be 0.5, or it might be 0.75, or it might be 1.4. In fact, I remember once reading in a magazine where this company hired this team of economists to calculate price elasticity demand for their product, and they paid them $500,000 or something, and what they got back was a nice neat bound book and it looked real nice, and they opened it up and it says 1.3. Now, they pay $500,000 for 1.3. Now, is that useful information? Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that may solve that, that one number there may have saved the company, you know, millions of dollars by being able to make a good decision than maybe make a bad decision. Okay. Now, if it's if the number, once we calculate the price elasticity demand, which you're, you know, going to have to do for you know, different products, when price increases and there's a net loss in revenue, the demand curve is price elastic and it has a value of less than one. I mean, I'm sorry, a value of greater than one. Greater than one. Now, price elastic. Remember how many times I've told you not to rely on your memory, that your memory is your worst enemy in economics. And same here, you know, don't try to commit any of this to memory. It just, if you look at it and understand it, it just makes sense. And in this case, it really makes sense because elastic means big change. Inelastic means little change. Well, if you raise your price and that has a big change, consumers react to that price increase a lot, then that's elastic. And it has a value of greater than one because it's a lot. You know what I mean? I mean, the value is greater than one. I mean, here, this whole thing just makes sense. When price increases, demand is elastic. When more money is lost because of the fewer units sold than money gained because of the higher price. All right, so I just talked about that. Again, we change price, we make money, we lose money. But which is greater, the amount of money we lose or the amount of money we gain? Now, when price increases and there's a net gain in revenue, then it just stands to reason that the demand curve is price inelastic and has a value of less than one. Okay, we raise price, our revenue goes up because the amount of money we gain due to the higher price is greater than the amount of money we lose due to the decrease in sales. And so we say that the demand curve is that we faced is price inelastic. And if you calculate it, it'll have a value less than 1, like 0.5 or 0.4 or something like that. When price increases, demand is inelastic when more... Okay, I've talked about this enough. More money is gained because of the higher price than the amount of money lost because of the fewer units. Inelastic. Now, what do elastic demand curves look like? Elastic demand curves are more horizontal than inelastic demand curves. And again, I'll show you a picture of this, but this is just makes sense. I mean, it's just common sense here. Now, what do inelastic demand curves look like? Well, inelastic demand curves are more vertical than elastic demand curves. Now, one of these demand curves represents ice cream and the other represents oil. Which is which? The one on the right is oil. B, you mean? And A is ice cream. Okay, everybody agree?
Yeah.
Anybody disagree? Well, then you're all wrong. Because A is oil and B is ice cream.
Oh.
Now, how do we know this? Well, again, it's just common sense. See, look at A. A, we raise price. Now, when we raise price, what effect does that have on the quantity demanded? A lot or a little? Just a little, right? In A, we raised price, and the quantity demand went down because we raised price. But how much did it go down? Well, it just went down a little bit. But with B, see, B, we're changing price by exactly the same amount. But with B, because B is more, the demand curve for B is more horizontal, the demand curve for A is very vertical, more up and down, and the demand curve for B is more horizontal. If we change price exactly the same amount, when we're looking at B, the more horizontal demand curve, a price change has a big effect on the quantity demanded. So if price changes and there is a big effect on the quantity demanded, elastic or inelastic? Elastic. If we change price and there's only a small effect on the quantity demanded, then we say that this is inelastic. And when are things inelastic and elastic? Well, if you're selling something and that thing that you're selling has few substitutes and it's something that people need, elastic or inelastic? Inelastic. So when price goes up, yes, people will buy less. But see what elasticity is all about. It's not about people buying more or less. It's about how much more or how much less. See, with the price of gasoline going up, yes, people bought less. But if gasoline faced an elastic demand curve, the quantity demand for gasoline would have gone down a whole lot more than it did. I mean, the fact is that gasoline is a necessity with few substitutes. I mean, it's hard to put anything else in our cars other than gasoline. And our automobiles are a necessity. Now, if the price of gas really goes up, can we cut back? Can a lot of people cut back on their driving? Yeah, you know, you can decide to drive less and take fewer trips and, maybe as time goes on, even buy more fuel-efficient cars and things like that. But it's still a necessity. Now, if you compare that, and what we're talking about here is a comparison. If you compare that with some other product, like in this case, ice cream, well, ice cream is necessity. I mean, is a luxury with many substitutes. You know, people don't have to buy ice cream, and if they really want something, you know, a cold substitute, well, there's always sherbet and frozen custards and yogurt and, you know, things like that, see? So when the price of ice cream goes up, people are more responsive to that. They'll say, well, you know, we'll just switch to something else, or we'll simply do without. But you can't do that with gasoline. I mean, not to the extent. And again, what we're talking about here is the extent. See, what elasticity is all about is the level of responsiveness. Are consumers real responsive or just a little responsive? See, A is oil and B is ice cream. We can say that demand curves that are more inelastic are more vertical, and demand curves that are more horizontal or elastic. But the real proof, hard and fast proof, if something is either elastic or inelastic, is if we raise price, what happens to total revenue?
If you raise price and total revenue increases, the demand curve is price inelastic. If you raise price and total revenue decreases, then it is price elastic. This ends Chapter 5, Part 1.